Thank you, Sam. And thank all of you for coming tonight. Dan asked me if I would be willing to preach, and I said, sure, if you can't find anybody else. So I don't know how hard he looked after that, but anyway, I'm willing to do it. I hate to say no to the church. And, you know, in the past, I've always looked and found something that I just felt like I needed to speak on. And this time, I'd get a sermon started, and I'd think, that's not going anywhere, because another sermon kept coming to mind that I'd heard 30 years ago. And I'd start another one, and I'd think, man, this isn't going anywhere. So what I'm doing tonight, I am preaching a sermon that I heard 30 years ago. And, you know, a sermon to stick with you is one that's really special. I might not be to y'all, but to me, this really was a sermon that I took to heart. 30 years ago at Elkhart, when we were going there, Jerry Keene preached a sermon titled, I Died Last Night. And it just kept coming to mind, and I thought, well, I'll just give it a go. And I hope that it's one that we will remember, because it's one that meant a lot to me. I won't be able to present it near like Jerry can. He's like Dan. They have that ability to just reach out there and grab you. But I'll do my best, and I hope it's something that'll make each of you think, too. You know, I once heard a story about a businessman who had a unique way of checking on his financial status. And it seems like once every year he would go to his banker and he'd say, let's imagine I died last night. Does my family have enough to live on? And is my company financially secure? And how's my estate? How are things going with my estate? And that might sound a little odd to you, might sound a little strange. But you know, really, it's not a bad idea for us to be thinking about what if we died last night. Really, it's a very wise thing to do, I think. Because so many people live through this life showing no concern at all about their family's welfare, the estate they leave behind, or what happens if I was to die tonight or last night. But this particular businessman, really, if he had really died last night, I doubt very seriously if he would have worried about his financial planning, if he would worried about his business or his company. If he died last night, there's other things to think about. You know, I think about Stephen in Acts chapter 7, after preaching the fiery sermon to those unbelieving while proving to them that the Old Testament prophets had prophesied about Jesus, and he indeed was the Messiah, and how he accused them of condemning the Son of God. And the Bible tells us they got so angry with him that they covered their ears, they gritted their teeth, and they started to pick up rocks, stones, and stone him to death. So here's Stephen, a man who is about to die with only seconds to live. And while those rocks are sailing through the air, I doubt very seriously if he was worried about his financial status or about his business or his career. But the fact is, we don't have to wonder what Stephen thought, do we? Because the Bible tells us exactly what was on his mind. The Bible tells us that he looked back at the world he was leaving behind, and then following the example of Jesus, he prayed for those who were stoning him to death. He prayed, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And then looking ahead to the world he was about to enter, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. The Bible tells us that Stephen wasn't concerned about those worldly matters or worldly cares. He was only concerned about spiritual things, the things we really should be concerned with. The only thing he was thinking about was spiritual. He wasn't thinking about his money or his job. And just for the sake of this sermon, this is what Jerry did that really got me. Just for the sake of this sermon tonight, I want us to suppose, like that businessman, what if I died last night? And I want each of you to really, really think about, on your own level, what if I died last night? If you had died last night, what would really concern you right now? And I really believe that We would only be interested in spiritual things and about the condition of our soul and our eternity. I don't think we could care less about our jobs or our farm or our cars or the weather or sports or Facebook, politics or the economy or Ukraine, because worldly affairs would not seem so important if you died last night. And that's why none of that stuff really matters anymore. Suddenly all those things are not so important because you died last night. And all those things that took up so much of your time and so much attention, they're really meaningless because you died last night. And as you stand before the great white throne and the majesty of God and the reality of death begins to sink in, strangely, the only thing that you're going to have time to think about is maybe Scripture and verses of Scripture that maybe you hadn't thought about in years could come to mind and flood into your mind and really have you wondering things and thinking about things. Once there might have been a time where you were too busy to read the Word, too busy for God's Scripture, but not now. Strangely, because you died last night, they mean a lot more than they did just a day before. You hear the words of the Apostle Paul in Timothy 6 and 7 come echoing back when he said, "We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we will carry nothing out of it." You look down at your own two hands, and there's nothing there. Nothing. You brought nothing with you. You hear Hebrews 9:27 again. It's appointed to man once to die, and after death, the judgment. And you realize, I'm about to face the judgment. And that verse is replaced by another warning in Hebrews 10:31 that says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And you wonder, how could this have happened so fast? How could I not have more time? And you remember James 4:14, and how he recounts the brevity of life. For what is life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. And that verse has a whole new meaning, because now it applies to you. And while those words ring in your ears, you begin to realize that you vanished from the earth last night. Your body might be there, but you're not. You have already left. And you remember Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, where King Solomon said, "The conclusion, when all has been heard, is to fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of life." And you may have never understood that before, but you understand it now. It brings a whole new meaning. And as you recount those words spoken so long ago, another verse comes rushing back to your mind, and you begin to shudder at the thought as you remember 2 Corinthians 5:10. You see, it takes on a whole new meaning now. As you remember, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be compensated for the deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Wow. You realize what this verse is talking about. You're about to be judged for the things you have done and the things you have not done. And so now you tell me, on this day of reckoning, this day of judgment, who's going to be concerned about earthly things? In that moment, who's going to be concerned about all those things that Jesus said worried so many people in this life? You're not going to ever worry about those things again. Ever. And on that great day to end all days, the only thing that's going to be on your mind is your spiritual condition. The most important thought that we will have is my reservation made in heaven? Is my name written in the book of life? What is Jesus going to do with me? You see, these are the things we're going to be thinking about at that moment. And you know something I've found true in my years of being a Christian, visiting people? the closer someone comes to the end of life, the more they think about eternal things, if we have time. But you can't think of that if you died last night. They stop worrying about earthly things once they realize, you know, no matter what I do, this life is coming to an end. And it's then they want you to pray for them. And they want to take time to do things, but a lot of times their pride won't let them. Now, I don't know about you, but maybe you've never had too much for gospel preaching. There's a lot that's not here that don't. Maybe you've been too busy to study the Word like you should have, or just too busy while doing other things to even spend time in prayer or doing other things. But suddenly, when we face the reality of our own death, there's going to be a keen interest in spiritual realm, and priorities have a way of getting reversed. When a person is staring at death, it's the spiritual things that are going to matter and nothing else. So if we had died last night, most of us would be asking ourselves a few questions. I think the first one is, wow, I'm dead. I died last night. But am I saved? Am I going to heaven? Did I obey the gospel? And why would that be so important? Because none of these other things matter anymore. Why would we be asking ourselves something like this? It's because the gospel and obedience to it is vital for our soul's salvation. That's why God's word is plain about it, about the need for us to hear and respond and obey the gospel. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's that strong. It's what gets us salvation, the gospel. In other words, the gospel of Christ is, that's what God uses to save our souls. And the gospel of Jesus is what God uses to save us. And it's a sobering question I ask in 1 Peter chapter 4:17. It says, for it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Paul answers it. We look over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. It says, the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. He goes on to say, these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You know, it's obvious when you read the Bible that we must obey the gospel in order to be saved. Some people don't even know what it is. Some will say, oh, it's the good news. But it's much more than the good news. It is the good news. I'll agree with that. But what good news? Well, we don't have to wonder about that. See, this Bible tells us all we need to know. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel. He's going to make it known here. The gospel I preach to you, which you've received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you. If you don't, you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, here it is, the first importance, what I've received, the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. And he was raised on the third day. You see, in these verses, Paul clearly explains what the gospel is. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We obey this by being baptized. When we die and we're buried and we're raised to live anew with Jesus. And if we look in Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through 24, we can see the apostle Peter is preaching there about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. He's preaching the gospel. And he says, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. They had seen it. I'm not telling you something you hadn't seen. Just as you know, this man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed him to the cross. Hands of godless man put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it's impossible for him to be held in its power. We look on down in verse 37, and he says, when they heard that, they were pierced to the heart, and they asked, what can we do to be saved? He tells them, repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins. I don't know how people say you don't have to be baptized. Jesus said you do. For forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And about 3,000 were baptized after hearing this. They had seen it. They had seen Jesus. In Acts 22:16, Ananias told Saul what to do to be saved. Told him, get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. He told him the same thing Peter had told him on the day of Pentecost. He told him to be baptized, to reenact the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. They had to obey that. They had believed. They'd watched. If you watch somebody come back from the dead, you believe. Watched him heal people. Watched him raise others from the dead. Watched him. They believed. But they were saved when they obeyed the gospel. Are you willing to spend all of your eternity wishing you had done what it takes to be saved? Because that's what's going to happen to some people. Oh, I wish I'd had a little longer. If you died last night, it's too late now. Hebrews 9:27 tells us that after we die, we will face the judgment. But another question, since I died last night, was I faithful to Jesus? That's something that's going to be on our mind because we're told to be faithful. Revelation 20:10, Jesus said that if we'll be faithful unto death, he will give us a crown of life. He's willing to give it, but there's an if. We have to be faithful. So what does it mean to be faithful unto death? Well, it means to be faithful in all things, not just what Dwight wants to do. Well, I'll be faithful in this because I like it. All things. Are you faithful in prayer? James 5:16 says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing and in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. We need to realize it's an honor and a privilege to be able to talk to the Creator of everything. He created everything. We can talk to him anytime, anywhere, about anything, and know that he's listening. Know he's able to answer those prayers better than I know how to ask them. I've had a lot of prayers that were not answered like I asked. They were answered better for me, in a better way. But are you also faithful in other things? What about studying the Bible? 2 Timothy 2:15 says to study to show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a reason for that. When you study the Bible and you learn what it says, you're not easily led astray. Studying helps us know how to remain faithful. Matthew 25:21, Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. So if you don't have to ask yourself if you were faithful because you died last night, you'll know, hey, I can enter into the joy. Were you living a faithful life where you refrain from evil? James 1:27 tells us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Did you heed the warning in 1 Thessalonians 5:22 to keep away even from the appearance of evil, or just try to blend in with the crowd? Come to church for an hour on Sunday and live like the world the rest of the time. Be honest with yourself, because only you know. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8 says, "Now I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has proposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." We want him to give. I'm not talking money. I'm talking about us. Give yourself. Well, it's too late now because you died last night. Jerry kept saying that, and I kept thinking, wow, if I died last night. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together. Were you faithful in attendance?" See, it's not for me. It's for others too. "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not as forsaking the assembly as some are in the habit of doing, but by encouraging each other. And more as the day appears." That's why we come, for others. Not what can I get out of it. We come to worship, but we also come to help others. So if today's obituary reads that you died last night, I ask you, would you be able to say you obeyed the gospel and were faithful? Or would you say, well, I was going to be faithful tomorrow, someday. I was going to start studying my Bible one of these days. And I was going to start giving and helping the needy, visiting the sick, I was going to serve someday. Someday is going to end someday. If you died last night, it won't matter what you're going to do because time's already run out. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It's appointed for men to die once, and after that comes the judgment." 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for the deeds in the body according to what he's done, good or bad." Did you ever even share Christ with anybody? You know, I think one of the worst things could happen is be at the day of judgment and see my children and my grandchildren being told, "Depart from me. I never knew you. Because I never shared." Or my friends going, "Noah," and looking back at me, "Why didn't you tell me?" That's an awful thought. But if you died last night, it's too late. For each of us here, it's not. We have time. After being raised from the dead, Jesus told the apostles, now he's raised from the dead. He says, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation." What was the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Preach it to all creation. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Matthew 28:10, Jesus spoke to him saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." How? "Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." You know, when Paul knew he was about to die, I would think it felt good to look back at Timothy and see him preaching the gospel and knowing that he was still out there. His influence was still making a difference on some later on, even today, from things Paul did. I know it will be a good day for him in judgment, but what about us? Will you be able to hear the words Jesus spoke, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter in." Or will you hear what he said in Matthew 7:23? "Depart from me. I never knew you." You know, it won't be long until we will be standing there thinking, "I brought nothing. All that stuff that's so important is gone." It'll be here before we know it. And if this sermon has made you think about that, I hope it has. Like I say, I think about it from 30 years ago. What if I died last night? What if I died before I could do that tomorrow? If it's done that, it's done what it's intended to. You know, there's a quote I put on the sign out there. Been a few years ago, I think. And I can't remember, Kyle might have given it to me. But it said, if the living knew what the dead know, the whole world would follow Jesus. Oh, that's a quote, and that's the truth. The whole world. If you're wondering where you stand before God at this time, and if you're wondering whether or not you're ready to meet Him in judgment, then you need to make some changes. If you're wondering, you're not going to have time to plan on it once that time comes. You need to do it now, because this could be your last chance. First, you have to believe in Jesus. John 6:47 said, the one who believes has eternal life. And you know, I think every so-called Christian religion says that. You have to believe, because Jesus said it. But He also said you have to repent. Acts 3:19, therefore repent and return so your sins may be wiped away. They believe that. I don't know why they have trouble obeying the gospel. Because Acts 2:38, and Jesus said it several times. The Bible's full of it about being baptized. But when they said, what must we do to be saved? Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. They have trouble believing that. Well, why believe? You have to believe if you're not... You can't pick and choose, because eternity is a long time to remember these verses. And also, are you living faithful? Revelation 2:10 says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. That's the sermon if I died last night. If you see a need that you need, that we can help you with, I'd ask that you do so at this time as we come forward.